जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा गोपी जन
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrind ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar Gop Gopinath Shamukun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gaura Hari. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Mata Swamiti Namine. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. By regular attendance in the classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, verse 58, 59, and I'm also supposed to read the summary of the next chapter. So we'll do verse 58 together. There's purport for this verse, and the next verse there's no purport. Iti, in this way, Nanda Adaya, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, Gopaha, cowherd men, Krishna Rama Katham. Narration of incidents in connection with Bhagavad Gita. Action for Krishna. Na. Not. Avidan. Perceived. Bhava Vedanam. The tribulations of material existence. Iti Nanda Dayo Gopaha. Krishna Rama Kathamuda. Kurvanto Ramamam Manascha. Navindan Bhavavedanam. Iti Nanda Dayo Gopa. Krishna Rama Kathamuda. Kurvanto Ramamanascha. Navindan Bhavavedanam. Please chant. Iti Nanda Dayo Gopa. Krishna Rama Kathamuda. Kurvanto Ramamanascha. Namanda Bhavavedanam. Iti Nanda Dayo Gopa. Krishna Nama Kathamuda. Kurvanto Ramamanascha. Arindam Bhavavedanam.
Thank you.
Mothers?
Iti nanda dayo gopa Krishna rama katham uda Kurvanto ramana sascha Namindam bhava vedanam.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this way, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. We'll also read the next verse and then we'll do the purport.
Eva viharae komaram jahatur vraje nilaya nilaya nai setu bandhayar markato plavanadibhi.
In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Vrajabhumi by engaging in activities of childish play, such as playing hide and seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 10th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna. So we'll read the purport of verse 58. Here is an instruction about the result of studying or discussing the Krishna Leelas that appear in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sadyo hirdiya varudyate tra kritibhi srushubhista shanat
Bhagavatam 112. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in Vrindavan appeared like ordinary persons of this material world, but they never felt the tribulations of this world, although they sometimes met many dangerous situations created by the demons. This is a practical example. If we follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas, we can all be happy simply by discussing the activities of Krishna.
Anarthopashamam sakshad bhakti yoga madokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvata samhitam
Bhagavatam 176. Vyasadev has given this literature so that everyone may understand one's transcendental position simply by discussing Bhagavat Katha. Even at the present moment, everyone everywhere can be happy and free from material tribulations by following Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need of austerities and penances, which in this age are very difficult to perform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore declared, Sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. By our Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam so that anyone in any part of the world can be absorbed in the Krishna consciousness movement by chanting and hearing about the activities of Krishna and be free from all material tribulations. Jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtha Bhutale Srimati Unita Swami Tinamini Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevach Patita Nam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. In this way, all the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. So this is the winding up of the chapter, and we have been hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram and how Krishna liberated the sons of Kuvera, he killed the demons. And we see that Nanda Maharaj, and yesterday's class, Srila Prabhupada was saying how, again and again, Srila Prabhupada is saying that Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas did not actually understand who Krishna was. But because of their great affection, that was their qualification, if you can say, that they had so much affection for Krishna, and that was all that was needed. And in the first verse where Srila Prabhupada is mentioned in the purport, it's actually the second verse of Bhagavatam, that very famous verse, Dharma Projitaka Ketavo. This quote which Prabhupada has given is the last line of the verse, Sado Hirdi Abarudyate Ta Kritibi Sushubhi Stachanat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the qualifications, and the six qualifications which he kind of says in this one of the paragraphs, which is almost the last paragraph of this purport. The proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. And we see that just now, which Keshava Prabhu read, this very nice poem written by an inmate in the Stark prison. And so many of the prison mates must have heard this message, because the devotees are sending out information or they're going. But this particular person heard it submissively, and so his heart is actually realizing how the love of Sri Krishna can be accepted. And Srila Prabhupada says, a challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. And we see there are so many people who get so challenging, and they just come in your face like, why do you think Krishna is God? Or have you seen Krishna? And they make all these challenges, and it just happens that the realizations will not come. Even though we will hear it, but the realization will not come. And Jananda Maharaj and the Gopas, they have so much affection for Krishna that they don't need all this knowledge. They are just by having the affection, they are actually in Krishna because they are actually associating with Krishna, but even though they don't know who Krishna is, they are in their transcendental position. Which Srila Prabhupada actually says in the purport also, that one may understand one's transcendental position simply by discussing Bhagavad Katha. So as we are getting together here every morning, and by continuously attending these classes, that stage will come. It might not seem at this time that we are there, or it might seem that we have done it for so many years and we are not there yet. But if we see what Srila Prabhupada is saying, we hear it submissively, seriously, sincerely, humbly, and with great anxiety, with anxiousness, we want to hear, and with no ulterior motive. Actually, the word sushusu in this verse is, one must be anxious to hear this message. So if we do all that with this, all these qualifications, then Krishna will reveal. Krishna will reveal himself. And actually there is I know most of you must know, the 10th canto commentaries by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sara Artha Darshini. And in the introduction, Mahanidhi Swami is quoting Krishna book, which Srila Prabhupada has spoken about, chapter 90 of the Krishna book. He says, the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. The descriptions of the pastime of Lord Krishna is so attractive that it automatically gives us an impetus to study repeatedly. And the more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to Him. This very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to His abode, Goloka Vrindavan. And in this context, I would like to say that Prabhupada, in the very first sentence, he talks about Krishna Leelas. And growing up in India, I remember that when we were, from the very beginning of my childhood, I remember that they would always have Krishna Leelas and Ram Leelas. So right before Krishna Janmashtami, for weeks, there would be presentations of Krishna Leela in different theaters, in different neighborhoods. And Ram Leela was done for 10 days before Dashera, which is the day Lord Ram killed Ravana. And even recently, I went with all my children, and we were there right before in Kartik, and Ram Vijay was happening maybe 2 days later, and we went to a Ram Leela This show happens every night, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come for these presentations of Ramlila, and people like, and it's practically in every neighborhood. And some of them are so big that thousands of people come. So what Prabhupada is saying in this Krishna book about, we continuously hear and read and memorize. So I don't recall ever reading the pastimes of the Lord when I was a child or growing up, but they were so much available in the literature, in the, like, you know, in the everyday world, that we kind of knew them. We knew them. And of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are able to now understand and get a very clear understanding that we can be transferred to the spiritual world by actually repeating them and hearing them again and again. And Srila Prabhupada, actually, very early in 1965, I just put in the Veda-based theater, and then I put drama. That Srila Prabhupada was, there's a letter from 1965 to Sumati Murarji, in which he's saying, the Bhagavad cult is preached also through the art of music and dance, as it was done by Lord Chaitanya. I'm just thinking of introducing the very same system for my Srimad Bhagavatam preaching. So Srila Prabhupada was thinking from the beginning, because he has seen in India how the effect is of art and music, because as basically we all spirit souls are attracted to the music and dance. And Srila Prabhupada actually says that I actually went and saw some dance. He said, I've not seen any dance for 40 years, but I went to see this dance because it was being performed and there was Sanskrit verses being chanted. And he said there was a good response in the United States. So we should do this. We would like to do this. And then in 67, he asked Hayagriva Prabhu to write a play on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and which was actually written. And then there were many, many groups which were formed. There was with Vaikuntha players. Then there was the Dome Theater in New York, Bhakti Kala Kshetram in Juhu. So Srila Prabhupada inspired the devotees, and he, over and over again, he says, this drama playing is very good presentation for attracting their attention and displaying Krishna consciousness very beautifully. These kind of dramas about Krishna are very much desirable for presenting to the public widely. So, and he said, so in this way we can present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very nicely for everyone to relish. So I'm sure it's very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada that currently his disciples and grand disciples in our community, Jai Shri Radhe and Manorama, they are traveling all over North America and even South America in the winter time, and they present plays with so many different groups. They go during the summer, and so many different, like, all walks of life, people from all walks of life are able to see these pastimes of the Lord, and actually they can have something might go into the brain that, oh, God is actually not just an old man with a big beard, big white beard, he's actually got all these pastimes. So even though they might not accept it right away, just that little seed has been sown in their heart that there is some other way, some other place where we can, there is some pastimes of the Lord. So it's very, very commendable that these devotees are spending so much time and energy and spreading Krishna consciousness in this way. And we see from today's verse that just by hearing, just by discussing the pastimes of the Lord, Prabhupada says one can actually understand their transcendental position, their sarup, their eternal sarup. And the other thing which Prabhupada says, a very practical example, is that one will not even perceive material tribulations, which is what is also there in the verse. That once again, I would actually, there's purport of this verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which I would like to read, because it leads us more into the intimate circle of Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is seeing. He said, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men sat in the meeting room and repeatedly discussed the naughtiness of the boy and his killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura. They also composed songs which they sang again and again. Yesterday in the class, Shesha Prabhu was saying that the women were singing the pastimes of the Lord and the men were discussing the topics. And here we see that actually the cowherd men were also composing songs. which they sang again and again, and thus they did not perceive the tribulations of material existence. Other elderly cowherd men, coming from distant places, informed Nanda about the need to become liberated from the material world. They said, "Half of your life is gone. Why do you remain immersed in discussing about child, family, and wife? Why don't you concentrate on knowledge, detachment, austerity, and remembrance of Narayan so that you can get deliverance from the material world?" Though requested in this way, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men did not pay any attention to that. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the exalted nature of the cowherd men and women who were not touched by the material world, born of ignorance. There is no question that they could be affected by the pains of the material world. In this way, whatever appears as material tribulations simply nourishes the pastimes and therefore is called Leela Maya. Not only did the cowherd men speak about Krishna and his past and future pastimes, but they also enjoyed playing with Krishna, Rama Manaha. Thus, they did not know the sufferings of materialistic persons, though they were living in the material world. When the Vrajavasis say, "I'm suffering from hunger," that hunger is not related to the material world. So that's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse. So another verse that Srila Prabhupada has in this purport, Bhagavatam 176, I will just touch on it a little bit in talking about material tribulations. So the translation of that verse is, "The material miseries of the living entity which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature which is in relation to the supreme truth." So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that revival of the dormant affection. So we all have affection for Krishna, but it is dormant. Does not depend on the mechanical system of hearing and chanting, but it solely and wholly depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord is satisfied with the sincere efforts of the devotees, he may endow him with his loving devotion, transcendental service. So how do we satisfy the Lord? By Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, which is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport. It's Param Vijayate. It's victorious. There's all victory when we chant the holy name of the Lord. And so the material miseries will come and go just like the winter and summer seasons, like the verse we know, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya. The winter and summer seasons are coming and the heat and the cold are coming. So the happiness and distress are also coming. But one who is situated in the spiritual, in the transcendental platform, or who is actually trying to be situated, will actually not experience those material tribulations. And by being free from these material tribulations, one can actually be situated in the self, the realize the Aham Brahmasmi platform. And actually, I'm sure many of you have experienced this, that as practicing Vaishnavas, practicing devotees of Krishna, so many things which used to affect us in the past don't really bother us. And we just kind of take it in our stride. And many other people who we know who are not practicing or not practicing so seriously, they question us, "How is it that you're not bothered?" And you can't really give a tangible answer. It's just that it's Krishna's mercy that you actually become kind of immune, you know, because you have been injected with this antibodies, and so we become immune. And as we become more and more immune, the tribulations will be there, but they will not affect us, which is what Prabhupada is talking about in this purport. It's a very practical example that by this we can understand our transcendental position. And like Keshava Prabhu was reading this morning, that there are so many faults in this age of Kali, but one great opportunity is that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we'll become liberated and become elevated to the highest platform of life. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Jai. Thank you very much. These are the few thoughts which I had, and if you would like to give, ask some questions or comments or corrections. Thank you. Yes, Dharamraj Prabhu.
So you were talking about the Lord's pastimes being performed in India when you were a child. Right now they're also doing it in Trinidad. It's called Diwali Nagar. They have like it's a 10 days program. The essence of that program is that they have a couple of villages. So for 10 days they would perform all of Lord Ram's pastimes around Diwali time. In the course of time, it start taking on a different shape and become more, you know, more like it's a national festival in Trinidad, and they're becoming, you know, getting a lot of sport and so forth. So it's starting to water down. So last year I was traveling back from the Caribbean. I was flying back, and I saw the magazine in the plane. So I just pulled it out, and there was a 2-page article on Diwali Nagar. That's one of the advertising that they have there, that now they got an Indian lady, a Hindu lady, who is now prime minister. And her motive, she's providing a government budget to establish like an entire city and to perform these Ram Lila pastimes. And their goal is to advertise it to make it an international festival, invite the people from all over the world. And really provide all the facilities to make the performance just as much as they possibly can realize.
Wonderful. So
just want to share that.
Thank you. Mukunda Prabhu?
Actually, thank you so much. It was a very beautiful class, actually. And it's very nice also reading from the Tika of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's very nice thing. But actually, yesterday, unfortunately, I had to work, so I had to listen to class online. But one question came up yesterday, and I thought it was really important. Someone had asked a question regarding when devotees participate in a kirtan, and they are feeling some elation by that practice. Is this like anubhav? That Sage Prabhu so nicely yesterday, he gave a very nice analysis of rasa samagri, anubhav, vibhav, like this. So I don't know what the final conclusion was because my internet started fluctuating. But I thought it was very important to understand that it cannot be anubhav, because devotees then may have some confusion. Any devotee, if he has not yet come to nishta in his bhajan, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur part in Madhurya Kandamini says this is called anishtita bhakti. At that time, if you come to kirtan and I feel happy, the kirtan is very nice, everything, I feel happy, this will be called either utsamayi or shraddha ulas, that my faith is feeling inspiration because I've participated in the kirtan. After the stage of nishta, the devotee will feel bhajan ulas, because now he's actually practicing steadily bhajan. That time he'll feel like my bhajan is Hazulas. In the stage of Bhav, at that time, he may have any sentiment come in the heart. It will be Anubhav, because at that time, Sudha Sattva has been established in his heart. And therefore, any of the Rasa Magri, like Anubhav, Vibhav, Sanchari, Satvibhav, it can take place. So I just want to clarify that. So
thank you.
Progression, that's true. But in Gujarat, the devotees were singing. So Mahatma Prabhu gave this story in the class a couple years back. So then some of the pandits, they came that the newspaper published, is this Hare Krishna peoples are in bhav? And then other is saying, no, this is anubhav. So when the report went to Srila Prabhupada, this is what I heard from Mahatma Prabhu's class. Then Prabhupada says, why not? The technically, yes, Technically, you are right. Unless somebody has a sthayi bhava arisen, the anubhav. But anubhav means what I'm feeling inside, it is expressing through the physical, right? Anubhav means what sthayi bhava inside I have, it is following. Yes. So if devotees are literally saturated with Krishna prema by Prabhupada's blessing, possible they're expressing. I was thinking about it. This is possible. Why not? It can be called anubhav. Because when Prabhupada says that, so it made, I was thinking like, was he trying to encourage the devotees or maybe he was really feeling? And Prabhupada double repeated, said, why not? They can feel. So we don't know who is in bhav. But generally symptoms are there, that's true. I was going to say only one, that in the you just read something very fascinating. I almost like thought about it many hours. That when Nanda Maharaj and his coward boys, what they're doing, so you just read that the outsider, sannyasi, would come. So I was thinking like, this is very hilarious, that how Vrindavan is the only goal of our life, where the soul is fully satisfied. That then Sanatana Goswami Pad writes that Karna Muni came, we studied that few months back, then Garga Muni came even before that, then Narada Muni came. So many sadhus are sannyasis. In Vrindavan, in one lecture, Prabhupada said, this is a place for the Vaishya community, only householder reside. Krishna, Supreme Absolute Truth, decided to be in a family life in a Vaishya community. Mm-hmm. So no sannyasi lives there permanently. They come and go, visit. But when sannyasi comes, you just read that sannyasi come and say, Nanda Baba, you are very old. You have to do something for liberation. You have to literally get serious about spiritual life. Right. So how are you doing? Immediately comes up with Sanatana Goswami Padra. I'm doing excellent. Thank you for asking. How can I say this boy is so beautiful, so handsome. Even the Brahmana in this village are saturated with his beauty. They get bewildered with the Narayan's beauty versus my son. So even my son is overlapping their meditation. And my wife, she is constantly serving him. So he's going like a family life, family. Then he give a signal like you just read, that they're clapping and singing this song. And then the sannyasi is thinking, oh my gosh, the whole villagers being a king, his whole family just absorb on his own family. What will happen? So then question, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes, if the question is asked, where would you live? Why do we live? We live for love. Prabhupada says that. We live for love. When the reporter asked Prabhupada, what is the purpose of anything? He said, just for enjoyment. So then the conclusion, some sannyasi came, that Nanda Maharaj, absorption to this, maybe by the mercy of Jogamaya, they got some sign of Krishna darshan. They got benefited. Who did not get darshan, they just pondered. How can it be possible so absorbing a family life and so extreme happy? And Nanda Maharaj did not care, never, to go any diversion or any other endeavor.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
It's very nice.
Maya Purlila, mother?
You were saying that how when there are certain things, our way we act, or, you know, is we kind of aloof, or we immune from material distresses. But does that mean that we acting, like, because sometimes there are things that you have to act on, like in an emergency, but we don't act as if we don't care. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, that it's not that we don't care. So, say it'll be hot, we'll be sweating, and so we're feeling hot, but we don't get disturbed by it. So that's what the tribulations are coming, or the emergency situation happens, and we act hastily. But it doesn't mean that we say the child gets our child gets hurt, and we have to take him to the emergency room. Because if we can say, he's hurt, you know, he'll get better, and he will eventually get better. That's like Krishna says, we have to act, we do our duty, we have to act. So, like, I remember many years ago, my son, he was not even in school and he got hurt. And I was here in class and he went, he was playing with his brothers and other people at the at other children at the school. And my daughter came running, oh, Muni got hurt. And I ran, I was just about to go out of this temple room and I just ran and blood is gushing out. And so, yes, you have to immediately, you have to feel the anxiety. But it doesn't mean that you feel, oh my God, you just break, like you just totally be so distressed that you're a basket case. There was so, when you think about it philosophically, there was a reason why this happened. There was a reason. And when you think in that way, why he got so hurt, why so much suffering came to him, why I reacted the way I did, then you will see, in any situation, we'll be able to see, we'll see the reason, we'll see the hand of the Lord, and we'll see a lesson for us, and we'll see a lesson for our growth. So, but we can be just, no, we can be uncaring. We can be, it's not that one could be, one cannot be pretending to be aloof. You can't just pretend to be aloof. You know for yourself, you've seen devotees who are so advanced, or they are so fixed in their bhakti, that when you see them or when you talk to them, you can actually sense how they are so transcendental, in the sense that they are not affected by the different things which are happening. But they don't seem like they are careless, or they are like, say, for example, I was thinking about it last night. So today is the anniversary of 9/11, very horrific incidents which happened. When was it? 2001. So as devotees, we will not say, it was their karma, because that's very, totally uncaring attitude. We have to recognize the pain which the whole nation suffered, and which every person, the family members are still suffering. But we have to also see the philosophical viewpoint of that. So, I mean, there is so much suffering in the world, but we cannot just get totally absorbed in it. Like, I'm sure there are many, many commemorations of that day today. They'll be at the site, and people will be talking about it all day. We don't want to get stuck in that. We don't want to get stuck in that lamentation mode. We want to just rise above, and we want to be able to realize what was the reason, what did we learn from this? As far as personally, what did I learn from it? What can we give to the people? Because I know many, at that time, devotees went out and served prasadam to people from the New York temple. So that's what, okay, we can give them something. People are open to counseling. There is a god sister of mine who's a counselor, and she counseled many children. She's a counselor for children at that time, because many children, their parents who perished or they got hurt, and she was able to counsel them in a Krishna conscious way. So we can give Krishna to people, and when there's so much anxiety and so much suffering. I hope I didn't go on and on. Thank you. Anybody else?
And on that 9/11, Mahasimha Prabhu in Alachua,
yes.
In the UF meeting. And I remember, I know her from San Diego, and then she was very mad because the car didn't start. That's why it was late. She missed the flight. And then after, of course, she could not go. Then after a couple hours, then she sees the result. Then she became so serious, want to chant, and just become like a very serious at that
Hari
moment. So yeah. Has a reason. But then in extreme, we can say, Haridas Thakur also exhibited that in extreme Krishna consciousness, which is, he's not aloof, but those people wanted to whip him, but he was not thinking that, oh, I'm supposed to feel pain. So when somebody come to that stage, then Mahaprabhu takes over his own body. That time Mahaprabhu was taking, but it says that khanda khanda hai jodi jai deho pran tobo ami badane na chari harinam. Haridas Thakur took a vow that if my every parts of my body fall apart, I will not give up. So as the result, Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Krishna kahe Haridas namanande deho dukho na hoy prakash. Because he was so absorbed in chanting and believing Krishna's name that no pain, he forgot that you're supposed to feel pain when blood and muscle comes out from your body. So as a result, he never feel pain.
Mm.
So this is an extreme example also there in our parampara.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhu. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
That verse that you were quoting, 112, and I think it was just the last part of the verse, but just, I think, a line or two before it had the word nirmatsaranam satam, and it says, for them, the threefold miseries, they don't exist. They've been removed at the roots, you know, the root cause. So that's also that same point about adiyatmik, adibodhik, and adidaivik, which are the sources. They're gone.
Yeah.
Nirmatsaranam satam is the trick.
Actually, it's so amazing, you know, Srila Prabhupada. You can see Srila Prabhupada is so learned and so he knew, like, so what this verse is there, and he quotes two verses, and they are so connected and so relevant. So it's that's why his purports are considered so authoritative. So we are so fortunate that we are able to study them and discuss them and relish them every day. Thank you very much for attending this class. Thank you.
Sorry, taking time. Kapil Dev, I can't help it sometimes. Kapil Dev quoted these verses to his mother. Madashraya kathamishta sinnanti kathayanti cha tapanti vividas taipa maitan madgata chetasa. Mother, this material pain, misery, we are not trying to minimize or adjust or doing things. When somebody advancing in Krishna consciousness, they don't get effect. We are not, the old age is still coming, everything will be there. Prabhupada had a gallbladder failed, he had a toothache, you can read Harishwari Prabhu's diary, all these things. But he was not affected. That was the point. It is not that we are trying to adjust or destroy the material miseries. It's just that we are never affected when we are advancing by the mercy of Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhu, for elaborating. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.